brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
And now, the exciting conclusion of JG's Radio Free Insanity.
All right, so join me in welcoming here Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, what's up, man?
James, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, I guess, for everybody, huh? How are you?
It's good, good. I mean, it could be worse. It could be Jim Ross at this point, right?
Yeah, what a drag that is. You know, but I guess when you look at everything, one door closes and another one opens up for JR, I think. And I, after what I saw last Monday on Raw with Stone Cold making his entrance, I think JR is going to be just fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, did you actually see the firing, the angle where he was let go?
Yes, I did. I did see that. I watched Raw when Vince brought Coach King and JR to the ring, and I actually have to say, for all my years of being in the business, I'm not going to necessarily say this business, but in the business, that was one of the more uncomfortable segments I've seen for a couple of reasons. You can pretty much tell, or I can pretty much tell, when there's some ribbon on the square going on. Mm. And I was watching that segment almost feeling that there were some things that had been festering, if not over the last couple of years, at least over the last couple of months, and maybe some people were able to get out in that forum and that climate, so to speak, being on TV, and be able to say those things in that that way, and then be able to come back and say, hey, it was only a segment, it was just a TV show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt that there were some things being kind of thrown in there, whether it was a shot in the balls or whether it was just the slap in the face. There's always ways of getting your point across.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this Monday showing the montage, including the ass-kissing segment, I thought was also taking shots that in this great big world of entertainment, we sometimes, people, some of us get a little oversensitive about, but mm-hmm. at the same time, some of us have a right to get oversensitive about it, too.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like his whole career has been a rib. I mean, they did the angle in 96 where he came out and he tore his cowboy hat off and he said, look at my face, 97, 96. What is it with them and why do they get off so much on torturing this one guy?
You know what? I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, when we use the words them, they, we, you know, I know we, but them and they, you know, it's like that gray area there. If you're talking about the McMahons, I don't know that it's necessarily the McMahons per se. I don't know if I can pinpoint one guy or girl. I can't say it's necessarily Vince, Linda, Shane, or Stephanie. But what I can maybe, what I think, only my opinion, is that when you have the power, and I've run across this before, and all of us have, if you've been in this business for more than 5 minutes, that some people enjoy having that power more than they do anything else in the world. And I don't know, again, I can't necessarily say they enjoy picking on JR for personal reasons, other than they know that it gets that emotion from all the people watching. And we're all marks to a degree because we all want to see something that gets us stirred up emotionally. And I do believe one thing. I know that Titan Sports, WWE, understands that JR is looked upon by the hardcore or real wrestling fans, so to speak, as the voice of professional wrestling, just like Gordon Sully was and is. Mm-hmm. And I think that they understand how to touch a nerve. And sometimes crossing the line is a good way to get controversy and good way to strike a nerve. And I think, well, I know it struck a nerve in a lot of people. I mean, hell, I've looked. I guess the last week you had letters from Ed Ferrara and Vince Russo, a lot of people going out saying, hey, you could have been let go a little easier than that, and you could have had a little more respect. I mean, come on. So obviously it's such a nerve.
Yeah.
I don't know why they get off on doing it as much, but quite honestly, I don't know why they do a lot of things lately. WWE, by the way.
Yeah, well, here's another question I have for you, because I've been kind of pondering this. Do you think that this is the kind of situation where, I mean, we knew Jim Ross had to have surgery, so he went and he had a surgery or whatnot. Do you think it's the kind of situation where, even if it was meant to originally be a shoot and he was really being let go from TV, do you think this is the kind of thing where the McMahons will bring him back, put him on TV down the line, and then almost laugh in a way of saying, you know, this was always a work the whole time, we were always going to bring him back, and almost like mocking the fans for believing it? Do you think this is another case of them putting the shit back in the horse after the fact and saying that they knew it the whole time?
Certainly. Most definitely. Here's the best thing about WWE, and here's the best thing about Vince. He can make it however he wants it. He can always say that's what he always intended to do, even though maybe he didn't, but he can always make it like it was.
Mm-hmm.
Vince is, and not just Vince, but creative, and the people surrounding Vince can, that's what's so great about it, is they can get everyone up in an uproar and so pissed off and disgusted, and then just come right back and say, look, this is what we do. And it is what they do. Same thing with the Matt Hardy Lita.
Mm-hmm. That's what bring that up next.
It's exactly what life is about, what wrestling's about, or sports entertainment these days anyway. And yeah, man, it could be that. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the only ones who know for sure is Vince and Linda and Stephanie. And of course, JR. Maybe JR doesn't even know.
Yeah.
But honestly, watching that and then watching Stone Cold come to the ring in his truck this past Monday, with the exchange back and forth between Austin and Stephanie, I felt, again, knowing being around that environment, yes, we're working. Yes, it's on TV. But at the same time, I believe Steve also had some true feelings and true emotions coming out. And if he could, I believe he'd snatch Stephanie and give her another stunner, so to speak.
I know you're going with that. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Now in the time between, well, here's one of the things that I had a big problem with. I don't know, on Monday, they had Coachman come out to do the commentary in Jim Ross's absence.
Right.
And I got the storyline. I got the angle they were going with it. They wanted Coach to be as annoying as possible, piss people off, have them miss Jim Ross, and kind of put him off as the heel. Now, my question for you is, how dangerous is that to do, to take the commentary for your entire show, purposely make it suck, just so you could further an angle that no one really knows for sure where it's even going to begin with?
Well, okay, first of all, you have to go with the premise that they are intentionally trying to make it suck. A lot of people, I don't understand a lot of, I do understand it, but at the same time, I don't agree with it. The people in charge of the TV have a complete different idea of what wrestling should be, professional wrestling should be. That's why it's never called professional wrestling unless Triple H sneaks it in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You do not hear very often, except within the last couple of years, you can count on maybe two hands, how many times the words professional wrestling or pro wrestling have been used. It's always sports entertainment. It's not professional wrestlers. It's WWE superstar.
Uh-huh.
The people in charge who do a great job on production, they do a great job cosmetically, making the show look like a rock concert. It's great. Have no comprehension, they have no respect, and no idea what makes professional wrestling professional wrestling. I mean, they're looking for a totally different emotional emotional response. Yeah, thank you. Kevin Dunn, gosh, smart guy, brilliant guy. He can do it all, but I think they look at that as having Coach come out and dress as JR. They don't necessarily always, in my opinion, understand the demographics. They don't always, and I don't really think they care. They're not looking for the hardcore fans. They're looking for the average. They're looking for the guys in between. They're looking for the most people watch. They're not going for the hardcore. They don't want just one audience. They don't want to be pigeonholed. So for sometimes they think that's entertaining as hell. Sometimes it is, but other times it just kind of makes people sit back and say, what the hell are they doing? And I think that's the dangerous part, is not always understanding why they're doing something. They think it's entertaining sitting around the table talking about it and having this great idea of Coach wearing a cowboy hat and going out being JR. But Coach is annoying on his own. Coach can be really annoying on his own. Just, he's a great guy, but, you know, sometimes you get told how great you are all the time, and you're great on that commentary, and you're great on TV, and how funny you really were. And then you really start believing that. Ooh, yeah, I think that might be happening a little bit too.
Huh? That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this: one of the first times I actually saw you on television when I was a kid, you were doing commentary. It was on ESPN. I forgot exactly what promotion it was.
It was USWA.
I didn't know if it was that or the other one. And I remember watching it. I remember thinking at the time that there were a lot of great commentators. I remember Jesse Ventura was still doing his thing, and you had even McMahon, people come down on him, and Jim Ross was doing his thing. And it really felt like, especially in the early 90s, late 80s, there was a big influx of new guys coming in trying to learn the craft of doing announcing or actually excelling in that craft. Do you think now, with the fact that Jim Ross is out, WWE cannot find, I don't want to say can't find, but I mean, they went through all the stuff with Mike Goldberg from UFC trying to get him in. Do you think that that's something that they neglected for the last few years, and because of that, now there's a huge gaping hole that it's going to be hard to try to train somebody to jump into?
Well, yeah, because WWE, again, wants their commentators to be completely opposite of what professional wrestling commentators were back in the 90s and things like that. WWE wants to be considered as an action-adventure series, a Steven Spielberg production type thing. Their announcers, even the play-by-play guys, are constantly selling. It's not necessarily describing the match, but you are describing the match, but you're selling what's going to be going on maybe two segments down the road. It's different than professional wrestling, obviously, and there's been a void, because to get any legitimate announcer in there, to get some legitimate guys in there, you know, they have to train them the Titan or the WWE way. And you're constantly being produced, and once you learn that, which takes some time, then you'll be fine. But there is a big gap in there, because I don't know of that many legitimate announcers that want to come for the amount of money that I believe they pay their announcers, and for the amount of work you have to do to come in and actually learn that craft. I think there's a big gap there. I mean, Michael Cole came from television news, and while he had the voice and he had all that stuff going for him, he knew nothing about wrestling. And some would argue he still knows nothing about wrestling. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, another thing, we talked about this a while ago when we were researching, when I talked to you about doing the book, we talked about the divas and the money that the new girls were paid. By the same token, when there were all the rumors about Mike Goldberg possibly being brought in, there was talk about the amount of money that was being thrown at this guy to try to jump from UFC. I mean, do you think that's a problem that WWE tends to do? Do you think that it comes down to when people who have been there busting their ass and doing as much as they can for the company see new people being brought in and having money just thrown at them and perks and this and that? I mean, how much animosity does that breed, and how much does that lower morale for people who are supposedly, you know, building the company on their own backs?
I think it has a lot to do with the morale being really crappy right now. I think it has a lot to do with the lack of respect that's shown to not only just people who have been around the TV studio or people who have been around busting their ass trying to make things work, but it's the arrogance and the attitude that is just that you can sense from the new breed of corporate people, and nothing against corporate people, I'm just not one of them, that come in there and believe that all we have to do is pay this guy. For instance, we don't have to get anybody who has the heart or passion for this business. All we have to do is pay some big guy and he'll learn it, and we can get by with that, and we can make them superstars. Well, that's horse shit, because it's been tried, it's been done, and it's failed miserably. You know, that's the attitude that I'm hearing now, that the idea is we don't necessarily have to get guys who are fans growing up and who love this business growing up. We just have to find some guys that look the part, we'll pay them, and we'll teach them, and it'll work that way. It doesn't work that way. Same thing with the announcers, same thing with anybody else who you're trying to get to sell the product. They have to love it. They have to have a passion for it, and that's what JR does. That's what JR did. He had that passion for it. You could tell in his voice. He loved what he did. And then, I mean, you can't manufacture that. That's why Michael Cole, in my opinion, is not only an arrogant little prick, but he is a guy who never really respected people who stepped in the ring, respected people who came before him, because he was from Network News. You know, he'd been in Kuwait or wherever the hell he'd been. He'd covered wars and everything else. Well, I don't give a damn. This is a whole different animal. Yeah. Guys like Gordon Solie, guys like JR are the guys who got you emotionally involved in a match, emotionally involved in what was going on, because they felt it and they had that passion. And when you hear about the corporate people, whoever they might be, wanting to hire a guy like what's his name, Mike Goldberg, yeah, from MMA or whatever, UFC, yep, and pay him an enormous amount of money, or however much they're going to pay, I don't even know, don't even care. That really does kind of bring up, you know, the point of this guy is doing it for the money. He's not doing it for the passion. He doesn't love this. He doesn't know this. How is he going to take it seriously? And how are you going to get anybody to want to listen to this guy? Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I don't see how that works. But I can see the morale in the dressing room and the morale in the back from people who really do love this business, what it used to be anyway, to where you could get really involved and want to do it. I could see it really sucking. And I, from what I understand, there are times that the morale does suck. A lot. Especially with Johnny Ace in charge.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what's funny? Actually, you bring that up about Goldberg. And speaking of Goldberg, we just had Charlie Haas on earlier in the show. We talked about Brock Lesnar because he was his corner man in Japan. It's almost like this WWE thing where they bring in these guys, as you said before, that have no respect for the business, aren't really wrestling fans per se. The Lesnars, the Ultimate Warriors, even Bill Goldberg to a certain extent. And then once they're gone, they tear him apart, like the Ultimate Warrior DVD. I mean, they brought the guy in, they paid him money, they kept bringing him back. They kept paying him money, even though he was, you know, half off his rocker. And then once he was gone, they made a DVD about how dumb the fans were for liking him to begin with. Do you think that's another problem that they're doing, too, that not only are they throwing money at these guys who end up walking away from the business, but in the end, they try to bury them once they're gone? Do you think it's kind of teaching the fans not to cheer for a lot of these new people?
Well, what I think it reeks of is desperation, and I think it also reeks of arrogance of believing that it doesn't matter who it is, there's a sucker born every minute, and once we bring the Ultimate Warrior, or let's just use him as an example, you know, the Warrior, quite honestly, is an idiot. He made lots of money, and I can't knock the guy for making money, but he was not, he wasn't very easy to do business with, and not, and once again, let me just disclaimer here, I knew Warrior when he started in Tennessee, and I knew his attitude, but his attitude was one that he was going to be successful, and he was. But once you are done with the company, and once the company is done with you, if there's no reason to make you look good, then, by God, for whatever vindictive or whatever streak you want to call it, you have, I mean, if that's what gets you off in burying somebody, then, by God, WWE has all the power and all the access in the world to do it. They could do it on DVD, on their television show, in their magazines, however they want to do it. But that's the point that really brings the morale down, too, because then how do you trust the guys, how do you trust the office when someone in, let's just say, as an example, mm-hmm. someone in talent relations tells you something right to your face and does something completely different? I mean, how do you trust when you keep getting these promises broken, or you're told one thing and then something else happens? It really breaks down a lot of trust, and it breaks down a lot of, it puts up a lot of walls and barriers that don't need to be there. Yeah. My opinion is, when JR was there, even when JJ was there, you know, they were the guys in charge of doing Vince's dirty work. Whatever Vince, Vince has a lot to do. You know, a lot of things, it's his company. Yeah. And if he needed something done that might not be so pleasant, well, that was talent relations job. Johnny Ace, I believe, relishes in doing that. Johnny Ace is the best, in my opinion. You have to be a prick to be successful in that spot, and I think Johnny Ace will be the most successful head of talent relations because he's the biggest prick in that spot, and he deserves to be there.
Why don't you tell everybody, you have a column now on the site, Dr. Tom Pritchard's Doctor's Note, right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. We got a lot of reaction to your first column, and I mean, it's been coming along great. One of the main things you're talking about, a lot of the guys that you're training. If you want, right now, before I let you go, want to give a plug out to anything you're doing in the future now with your school and stuff?
Well, I can go ahead and give a plug out to Elite Pro Wrestling Training, which is, it's Les Thatcher, myself, but I don't know if Ricky Steamboat is still involved or not. Now he's with WWE, and I'm doing some camps here and there, but I don't really have the list in front of me. But once again, let me just lay the disclaimer out. When I call Johnny Ace a prick, I mean that in the most complimentary way. You know, I think he enjoys being a prick, and in fact, he's a prick, and he deserves the title. So, as head prick, I mean that in a gracious way, and may he always be the biggest prick in WWE or anywhere else he goes. He gets paid well to do it, and he does a good job at being a prick.
Well, God bless the pricks, and look at it like this, Tom. If we didn't have pricks like Johnny Ace, we would have these wrestlers running around outside of the arena in casual clothing. We can't have that, you know.
And not only that, but you know what, man? Again, Vince has to have those guys. Vince has to have that. I understand that. Totally understand the business part of it. I just, you have to ask yourself, do you want to be the guy that can smile to somebody and lie right to their face and then look yourself in the mirror the next day when you know they have a family and someone to support? Or you know, is it something that you can't do? You have to have balls to do it, and you have to also have a big prick. And Johnny, did I mention he's a prick?
Yeah, no, I think, wait, did you? Say it again, just in case.
Oh, I just want to mention that Johnny is the best prick in the business.
Gotcha, Tom.
And thanks for coming on. And to all of you guys out there, thank you for listening to the debut edition of JJ's Radio Free Insanity. Make sure you come back next week. We have a lot of guests lined up. And when I say a lot of guests, I mean we're going to have some people on here. You're not going to believe it. So tune in. Definitely come back, and you won't be disappointed. So until we next speak, be well. And always, speak your mind.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.